Okay, thank you everybody for coming to the first in our series of Musar Vadim leading into Shabbos Mevarchim each month. Is this week Shabbos Mevarchim? That's close enough at least. Yeah, it is? Okay, so Rabbi Levin and I made a deal with each other earlier today that when we speak at each other's shuls, we are no longer going to introduce each other. So I just want to say thank you to Rabbi Levin for coming and sharing Divrei Torah and Divrei Musar with us this evening.
So I had asked Rabbi Leibowitz this week what I should speak about. He said, whatever I feel passionate about. So I thought maybe we'd talk about the baseball, some Yankees, and I spoke last week at Frisch, and they asked me to speak, and I said, what topic do you want? And they said, Chizik and Limud HaTorah. I said, I went to Frisch. They didn't want to hear that. So I told them some stories, but hopefully they got some Chizik. But I imagine anyone coming out tonight to this Musar Vad wants Chizik and Limud HaTorah. So I'm passionate about learning Torah. So let's discuss a little bit about some Musar and Chizik in Limud HaTorah. So the Medrash talks about how Rabbi Akiva was giving a shir once. And in the shir, the Talmidim were beginning to doze off, no different than any shir nowadays. And he attempted to wake them up. And he told them an interesting idea. And the idea was that why was Esther Malka Zocha to 127 Medina? It's a very strange idea. Because Sari Meinu lived for 127 years in this week's parsha. Doesn't say whether it was effective or not, but that was the idea. 127 years, 127 Medinos. So many of Farshim explain what's going on here. So I want to share with you the Chassam Sofer, what he writes. Chassam Sofer says, based on another Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodei Hashem Yimei Tamimim Kishem Shem Tamimim Kach Shnoseim Tamimim. The lives of the tzaddikim are tamim, are pure, and the years are pure as well. So he explains that the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis that says when calculating a person's life, we don't take into account night because we sleep belayla. So a person lives to 70; he really lived only 35 years because half his time he spent sleeping. When it comes to a tzaddik or tzaddikas, he says, a tzaddik gam belayla kol ma'asav l'Hashem. All the actions of a tzaddik, everything he does, even belayla, afilu rayonosav shel mishkavo, his ideas, his thoughts, his dreams, are also l'shem shemayim. His shayna, his sleep, is hakol l'shem shemayim. So when a tzaddik or tzaddik sleeps, there's a certain keem of shem shemayim. So that's what it means in Eish Eschayel, which the Medrash says is about Sari Meinu, about talking about Lila. She was up all night long. Doesn't really mean she was up all night long. It means when she was dreaming, when she was in the place of Shena, so she was somehow being Mekayim, something in the Shem Shemayim. So therefore she lived a double life. Shnoseim Kfulim. She lived Bayom and she lived Balayla. So the Chassam Sofer says, Shnei Chayesar could also be interpreted Shnei too. There are two chayisaras. There's a chayisar bayom, and there's a chayisar balayla. She lived two lives. So Rabbi Akiva was teaching the Talmidim. Is there a clock here, by the way? Okay. So the Rabbi Akiva was teaching the Talmidim as follows. He wanted to awaken them, because sometimes people are awake, but they're really sleeping. And sometimes people are sleeping, and they're really awake. If a tzaddik could be awake even when they're sleeping, like Sari Meinu, she lived two lives, how much more so should you guys be awake when it's daytime? You guys are busy sleeping when it's supposed to be daytime. So he's trying to excite them, to inspire them, that the reason why Esther Malka was Zocha to 127 Medinos is because all the work, the Shnei Chayisara, all the Machshava, talking about Laila that she put in, was able to produce a Bas Sarah, great-great-granddaughter of Sarah Imenu, with Esther Malka ruling over 127 Medinas. So what does it mean to sleep l'shem shemayim? To have rayonosav, to have dreams and ideas at Laila. So there's a Yerushalmi that tells us, it's brought down the Ramban Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that a person shouldn't sleep in Rosh Hashanah. Because if you sleep in Rosh Hashanah, the Yerushalmi says you're going to have a bad year, a sleepy year. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, but the Arizal would sleep after Chatzos. so we could sleep after Chatzos. So some poskim say, well, what the Arizal could accomplish in his sleep is much more what we can accomplish during our wake time. So we can't bring a rifle when the Arizal does. So we're not the Arizal. We're not trying to do crazy things while we're sleeping. But a very simple idea, how do we understand our focus when we sleep, and even our focus when we're awake? How do we sleep awake, and how do we stay awake when we're awake? So one of the most impactful shiurim I heard when I was in Eretz Yisrael learning in Hakota for a year. So we had this Tuesday night shiur from Rav Meish Targum. And one of the first shiurim, if not the first he gave us that year, was he was trying to plug into us what the objective is of learning in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two. So he said that the way the different, I guess, psychologists felt the brain, the way the brain works, it used to be that there's a compartment for math and compartment for history and a compartment for science, and parts of the brain work different areas of subjects. But then, at least 20 years ago, it may have changed now, the way it was understood was like a wheel. There's a center of the wheel and then the spindle is coming off. So the idea is whatever your focus in life is, that's the center, and you view everything through that nucleus. So let's say I'm a math guy. So I view everything mathematics. You know, I watch baseball and I'm studying the statistics. You know, I'm looking at history, I'm, you know, memorizing the years. If I'm a, you know, a guy who likes art, so I look at the baseball field, I see a nice fresh green field and some dirt and a beautiful stadium. Everything's just pretty or ugly to me. Or if I appreciate history, I study it in a different way. But everything's on what that focus is. What's the center of that wheel? So the objective, he explained, was to try to get that focus to be Limud HaTorah, Talmud Torah. That everything you see in the world is through Torah. That when you're, you know, when you're having a meal, what's the conversation at the table? Is it about the Yankees? Or is it about Divrei Torah, about the rabbi's drasha? Hopefully a positive response to the drasha. Is it about business? Or is it about how to make ourselves better? But the key to Eretz Yisrael, that year to an Eretz Yisrael, was to get that Limud HaTorah, that Hashkafas HaChaim from the Torah's perspective, to be the center, and everything be viewed in that way. That should really run our conversations at the table. When we drive, what do we think when we drive? I love driving. Remember, Leewitz is always listening to Shirim or giving Shirim. It's one or the other. So when he drives, he listens to Shirim. When I drive, I just think. Let myself think. So what am I thinking about? Am I thinking about the Yankees, the Knicks, or am I thinking about a shir? Or am I thinking about Hashem? Or am I thinking about working on my shalom bias, working on my relationships? What's my thought process? So it happened to be today, I was coming back from YU today, and I got a call from Rabbi Storch. So Rabbi Storch says, okay, I have you on speaker with my class. We have a question for you. So, okay, talking about being put on the spot. So he had a fascinating question. So I'll share the question because it was fascinating, great material for you. He raised the following question, having a discussion with his class. He wanted to know my thoughts on this. He must have been busy. So what he asked, the question they were talking about was, let's say you were not invited to a wedding. So, but you felt that you wanted to be Mesameach Chasan Kala. You knew them somehow, and you weren't insulted that you weren't invited, but you moved to the neighborhood and you wanted to just be part of the Simcha, Meshativ in the Simcha. So you show up to the wedding. Are you allowed to eat at that smorgasbord or not? So you weren't invited. So that considered stealing from the smorgasbord, not stealing. There's going to be many extras, a lot of surplus afterwards. It's going to go in the garbage. So you have to wait for the smorgasbord to be over. Everyone moves to the chuppah, and then you can eat from it. Well, Kamsa bar Kamsa. He got in trouble for kicking him out. So maybe if you kick him out, well, maybe the chassan has to let you stay because of the Kamsa bar Kamsa story. So he let you stay, but doesn't really want you to stay. There's a fascinating conversation that we happened to be at last night. I was at a wedding with Rabbi Storch, and I was looking for my table, and I got the last seat left at the table, so I sat there, and some guy ate my appetizer. The guy stole my plate. So I don't know if that was Geneva or not. But are these the questions we're thinking when we go to a wedding? Are we like thinking of the halacha man? The halachic man of how does this impact halacha? When we're driving, what's our thought process? The focus is, what is the center of that wheel? Is it sports? Is it business? Is it math? Or is it Torah? Not to say that everything should be Torah. I love sports. I love playing sports. I love following sports. But what's our focus? Is it Limud HaTorah? Is it the Hashkafah of Torah? Or is it something else? When I was in high school, I went to Frisch. So it was actually funny. Last week they had this this big conference with Donald Trump, right? The Orthodox, with some nursing homes. So I got a call. My wife's cousin is one of the partners who put it together. So he calls me up the Sunday before and he says, you know, Jared's coming to the event. Do you know him from Frisch? We want him to sit with someone who he's familiar with. I said, yeah, we play basketball and hockey. We're the only two people in the entire school to be in both basketball and hockey team. So I said, I'd love to come, but to be honest, I don't think he'll remember me. So I didn't get the invite. But my Frisch, I guess, history sticks with me. So when I was in Frisch playing basketball, so the coach said, when you're on the bus ride to wherever you're playing, listen to some music. So I listened to, it wasn't Uncle Moishe, anything near Uncle Moishe. Just listen to music and close your eyes and just imagine like hitting a shot or making a good pass or playing good defense. And just imagine, because if you imagine that, then you could do that. So I would sit in the bus and just like imagine doing a crossover, a good pass. So that was so ingrained in me. That was like my focal point. It took me years afterwards. I'm still like married. I'm still like closing my eyes. I think like taking a layup. Like, no. Like shake it out of my head. No, not a layup, not a layup. Doing something a little bit more serious than that. But what's the focal point? What are you fantasizing? What are you looking to accomplish? So there's a Gemara that tells us that there's a halacha that you're supposed to say Shema in the morning, the mitzvah to say Shema in the morning, and Shema in Maariv. And then we say another Shema before we go to sleep. Hamapil and Shema, or Shema Hamapil, depending on the order. So the Gemara says that if a person is a Talmid Chacham, he doesn't need to say Shema at night. Because Rashi says, because he's already Shkur B'Fiv, he's always chazering what he's learning. So the Shema is just, so those who don't learn, you could fill in Shema as a limud Torah to finish off the day. And those who do learn, they have just Torah continually go through his mind. So the understanding is that the daytime should be bracketed, bookended by Shema in the morning, Torah in the morning, and at the end, Torah as well. But I think it could also be understood that your sleep should be bracketed by Torah before you go to sleep and Torah when you wake up. Both. They work in both directions. So there's an incredible story of Chassam Sofer. I was zochet to go be by his kever this past June on the Hungary trip. So I bought the art school book. It came out with a new book in the Chassam Sofer. And I read it on the plane. It was a pretty short biography. And there's a great maisa there. So when he's around 10 or 11 or so, so he was quite the Eloi. So his father would, instead of telling him bedtime stories, would share with him a certain tzarech iyun that he had. So he told the Chassam Sofer at a certain kasha and Rashi, Tosis, whatever it is. And then the Chassam Sofer would go to sleep thinking of that kasha. And oftentimes, he'd wake up in the morning with an answer. Yeah, I don't know how that works. We know the neshama somehow goes up to the yeshiva shamala and learns and gets some answers there. So I've tried this. Never worked. But it's an incredible, one of the greatest hana I had in this world. Only a few occasions has it happened to me. I learned before I went to sleep. And then I woke in the morning thinking of that same exact sugi in the morning. It's like, I don't know what happened, but I felt like great waking up in such a way. So try it. It's really neat. And you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about that sugya. It's such a hana I felt. I wish I could answer questions that way. But it's going to sleep in that way, and it might be a little serious to do that, but it's an incredible way to go to sleep. Having the rayonosa, the dreams, the ideas of thinking Limud HaTorah, even when you're sleeping, and certainly when you're awake. So the Reb Tzadok writes that Rabbi Akiva represented this concept of dreams. You know, daydreaming, night dreaming. The name Akiva ben Yosef, Reb Tzadok explains that Akiva is from the name Yaakov Avinu, the same letters. And Ben Yosef is Yosef Tzadok. So the only two, other than Paro, only two Tzadikim we have in the Chumash that had dreams were Yaakov and Yosef. And they had dreams, Yaakov about the ladder and Yosef about his dreams. And so Rabbi Akiva had this Indian of dreaming. But it wasn't, some people just dream and fantasize and are lost in these dreams. What was unique about Yaakov and Yosef, not only did they dream, but they fulfilled the dreams. Rabbi Akiva was saying, it's great to dream, it's great to think big, but there's a time to think and there's a time to act. And if you're thinking balayla and bayom, you're not going to accomplish anything. So, symbolically, Rabbi Tzadok writes, Sari Menu represented 127 years of talking about olayla, of thinking, of fantasizing, accomplishing something. And Esther Malka represents the idea of accomplishing and implementing your dreams. And this is what's represented by Shnei Chayisara, the two lives, because Chayisara, even though she just died, she brought to life through the avenue of Esther Malka. So now that was many years apart. But on a very personal level, there's the idea of thinking, Balayla, dreaming of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dreaming of Limud HaTorah, and then there's actually the next morning to learn, to put it into practice, the Limud HaTorah. So it's incredible that there's a sefer called Or Zeruah, one of the Rishonim. It wasn't a Makubal, it wasn't a Chassid, but in the Hakdama to the Or Zeruah, there's a fascinating piece he has there. And most people write name the sefer based on their name, connected to the name somehow. That's a practice we have brought down by the Rokeach and others. So he writes, Or Zeruah has nothing to do with the author's name. It's Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak was his name. So why do you name the sefer Or Zeruah? So there was a suffix, how to spell the name Akiva. It's very important how to spell Akiva when it comes to a get, when it comes to a ksuba. So Akiva spelled the Ayin Kuv Yud Vez. And is it a hey or is it an aleph? Yushalmi has a hey, Babli has an aleph. How do you write Akiva? So he once, Rav Asher Weiss quotes this as a dream. I looked inside, it's not really a dream, but he had a vision. So the Or Zeruah had a vision of the following pasuk. Or Zeruah Latzadik, Ulishe Lev Simcha. And it became aware that the Sofei Tevos of this pasuk was Or. He ignored the word Or, but I'll say that what that means in just a second. But Zeruah is Ayin, Tzadik is Kuf, Ulishe Lev, so on, Simcha is Ayin Kuf Yud Vez He, are the Sofei Tevos of Or Zeruah Latzadik, Ulishe Lev Simcha. And he paskin based on this vision, this idea he had, that Akiva's name should be spelled with a He at the end. So really, it's not only Akiva Stam, the Or, he didn't mention the Or. Or is Sof Tevos Rish, it's really Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva, who Ziyartide is Yom Kippur, where we say Kol Nidre Or Zerula Tzadik multiple times. And the reason why I'm suggesting it came down, this idea of Rebbe Akiva came down to Or Zerula through this vision, is because Rebbe Akiva represented one who had vision, one who dreamed, but also put into practice. So specifically through this vision of the Or Zeruah, why it came down in such a way. Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Chalomos. He was a Yosef Tzadik, he was a Yaakov Avinu. But he was also a person who was able to put them into practice. We all have big asagos when it comes to the beginning of the year to accomplish a tremendous amount. But it's one thing to just dream and think big. It's another thing to actually put into practice. So I'll finish off with the following Maisa. I was zocheh to be by the Ol, the Baal Shir Rebbe the other night. And there's a maisa of a young lady in some city down in South America. I don't remember which city it was. And she was engaged to be married to a non-Jew. And her parents, of course, were devastated. And they begged the rabbi to speak to her, to convince her otherwise. The rabbi met with her. And the conversation didn't go well. And he persisted. And the lady said, Rabbi, don't ever call me again. So the parents were distraught, and the rabbi didn't know what to do. So he called the Babacher Rebbe, he asked for an Eitzah. He spoke to the Shamash on the phone, the Shamash said, I'll get right back to you, give me a second. Okay, I spoke to the Rebbe said, tell the lady that there's a rabbi in New York who can't sleep because of you. So the rabbi on the phone down in South America is thinking, firstly, she won't talk to me. Secondly, that's really weird to tell that as a rabbi who can't sleep because of you. So he hung up the phone and was just thinking how he's going to do this. 10 seconds later, he gets another call. It's a shamash. The rabbi says, when he tells you to do something, do it. Okay? Hangs up the phone, calls her up, and he says to her, you know, can we meet one more time? And she starts yelling at him, I told you don't call me ever again. And he says, just one last time. So she agrees. She comes to his house, they meet, and he's like, figuring out, how will I say this to her? He says, there's a rabbi in New York who can't sleep because of you. And she turns white. So she asked him, do you have a picture of this rabbi? So he takes out his wallet, the rabbi in South America, and shows a picture of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. She says, this rabbi has been coming to me in my dreams the past few nights, telling me not to marry this person. And she broke the engagement. That's what a tzaddik does. So we're not on the level of the tzaddik of a Babcha Rebbe or a Sari Menu. But the idea is to create in our own mind that the focus, the nucleus of that wheel, be Limud HaTorah, that we should try to work on ourselves in learning, in following halacha, in our relationships, in chesed, in staka. And with that, we should be zocha to the Gula Shema Bamitas, Mehir Menu, Amen, Amen. Thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity.